Now, today on the Miraya Breakfast Show, we're focusing on a health condition that affects millions of people around the world but is still widely misunderstood, and that's sickle cell disease. Now, although World Sickle Cell Day is observed every year on June 19, South Sudan will commemorate the day this Saturday, July 4th, at the Al-Sabah Children Hospital under the theme, Closing the Survival Gap, Equity in Sickle Cell Disease.
Now, it's an opportunity to raise awareness, tackle misconception, and discuss how families and communities can better support people living with the condition. Well, to help us understand more, we are joined by Dr. Sarah Amum from the Al-Sabah Children Hospital and Moses Mutebi from the World Health Organization, who will explain what sickle cell disease is, how common it is in South Sudan, the signs parents should look out for, and what can be done to improve care and save lives.
Well, doctors, thank you so much for joining us today. We do appreciate your time.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. And Dr. Sarah, you're welcome. Let's begin with you, and Munkin Tabon's Kaman Bel Arabi, and then Dr. Mutebi will be the one to speak in English. Tell us about this sickle cell disease. What is sickle cells?
Okay, thank you, Miraya, for having us to talk about sickle cell and raise awareness, because it's important for us as South Sudanese, as we see that a lot of people, they don't know about the disease. Sickle cell disease, or Bel Arabi binadu, anemia al-manjaliya, or anemia al-hilaliya, because of the shape of the RBCs, or shakilada, huwa marad wirasi. Marad wirasi, yani, ma bintaqil bil-adwa. ده مرض الطفل أو الشخص بياخده من الأم والأب لأنهم هم عندهم الجين اللي فيه المشكلة. الجين ده اللي فيه مشكلة هو خلل في الهيموغلوبين. والهيموغلوبين ده شنو؟ ده بروتين في الكريات الدم الحمراء والدم الأحمر البسيط اللي بنقول لنا أكسجين. لما يحصل فيه مشكلة أو خلل وراثي بيكون في مشكلة في الشكل بتاعه. الشكل بتاع الدم الأحمر أو الـ RBCs بيتغير. شكله طبيعي هو مدور أو بايكونكيف، يقدر يمر خلال الأوعية الدموية الصغيرة خالص في الجسم. لكن لما يكون في الخلل الوراثي ده طوال الشكل بيتغير، بيبقى ليشنو؟ بيبقى crescent shape أو بالعربي هلالي أو منجلي. يهو الاسم جاء سيكل سيل أنيميا أو أنيميا منجلية أو أنيميا هلالية. فبالتالي بيحصل شنو؟ الـ RBCs اللي هو ما طبيعي ده في certain condition أو حالات اللي بيحصل في الجسم، عوامل كثيرة، stress, infection، حاجات كثير، فبيقوم بيعمل شنو؟ بيتكسر، بيبقى sticky، بيبقى يتلصق كده في بعض، يكفل الأوعية الدموية أو البلد فيسلز الصغيرة دي، فيعمل شنو؟ يعمل أنيميا، يعمل دامج، أو يقوم شنو؟ يبوظ كل الأعضاء بتاع الجسم في الآخر. ده ببساطة سيكل سيل، هو مرض وراثي، مرض أصلا بتاخده من الأم والأب اللي هم عندهم مشكلة في الجين.
No. All right. Thank you so much for that explanation. Yes, Dr. Mutebi, briefly explain to us what sickle cells is.
Yeah, in English. Yeah, basically it's a genetic disorder that affects the hemoglobin. That's a molecule of the red blood cells responsible for carrying oxygen. And the disease really causes the red blood cells that carry the oxygen to become rigid and sickle cell shaped, leading to blockages of the blood vessels, especially the tiny vessels. And really, a person gets what we call crisis that can be painful just because of the blockages, because the oxygen doesn't get to the tissues, and it causes a bit of pain. And if it takes a bit of long time, that tissue on the peripheral side can go dead or necrotic in our terms. The sort of symptoms and signs are related to that kind of physiology that and pathology that I've explained.
Right.
It causes so many things in the body just related to, just because it's related to this, just the blockages of the vessels and and also these treatments also are related to actually unblocking this and preventing this sort of crisis. Yeah.
Let's look at, of course, the picture. Looking at the bigger picture, how widespread is sickle cell disease globally, particularly across Africa?
Yeah, globally, at least the last estimates were done in 2021, whereby about 7.74 million people were really living with this deadly disease, and about every year, about over 500,000 people, new births are given. I mean, out of all the births, about 500,000 are really having this disease, it's sickle cell disease. Here in Africa, about 80% of our global burden actually here is within sub-Saharan Africa.
Wow. Mm.
Yes, Dr. Sarah can explain but I mean it's related to malaria issues and whatever, because we live in the tropics and whatever.
Wow.
And then sickle cell disease causes a substantial under 5 mortality. Yeah, those under 5 deaths. And we know that about 80,000 deaths in 2021 were due to sickle cell disease, which ranked about 12th in the world within this age group in terms of the deaths. So this is how, this is the global and regional burden in summary.
Thank you, Dr. Mtebi. Dr. Sarah, the numbers are staggering globally, but coming back home, how extensive is this disease? Do we know?
I can say sickle cell disease in South Sudan is a burden. But unfortunately, we don't have a real prevalence like other countries to say prevalence of sickle cell in this South Sudan is so and so due to a lot of challenges that we are facing. Number one is that we don't have neonatal screening. Neonatal screening that you test the newborns after a few days of life for this disease, so you know what are the actual data. And secondly, the awareness. We have a very, very low, I can say, awareness of the disease itself, so that's why. Currently, in Al Sabah Hospital, where I work, because we are a pediatric hematology specialist, so we do give the care for these children and adults as well. We have in our registry, in our data, we have more than 250 cases that are confirmed.
Mm.
This is only, I'm talking about only Al Sabah, and these are the people who managed to reach us from all South Sudan. Just imagine everywhere, even within Juba, still we are getting people did not, still not mismanaged.
Yeah.
So even this, the 250 or more, these are the people that are confirmed by the test. But we have a lot of cases that we treat because they have the symptoms, the sign, the family history, even they know this is anemia.
Accepted.
They know it, but it was not confirmed to know the genotype of the disease.
Right.
So there are patients, but you see we are lagging behind. We know that South Sudan is surrounding the countries that are high, with high numbers. Number one in the world, I think it's Congo, with the high numbers. The second is Nigeria, and then India. And then the neighboring countries like Uganda, Central Republic of Africa, they have also a lot of cases.
Right.
So expecting South Sudan. For us to just reach the point that we know we need to work on starting the neonatal screening for sickle cell anemia in South Sudan, and then to make it like a habit, like any parent who had a kid who is having history of recurrent blood transfusion and recurrent infection, that is not explained. It's not only malaria, because most of them, they think this is severe malaria. We don't know this is sickle cell anemia. So these kids, they should be tested. So we know ourselves and raising awareness and then counseling for parents.
Now, as a parent, what signs or symptoms might, like you're saying, many of them are saying that this should be severe malaria, and they don't know what are the signs and symptoms that they need to look out for, and when should families seek for medical attention?
Yeah, there are many symptoms, because like sickle cell is just a disease, as we said, it's genetic.
Yeah.
It's lifelong. So the features starting from infancy, جنال أقل من سنة عنده علامات بيظهر يعني أقل من سنة بعد ستة شهور يبدأ بيكون في ورم في أصابع بتاع يدين بتاع رجلين في ناس مرات يقولوا ده حساسية ودو حساسية even also some doctors still if they are they will say it's حساسية
if they don't know the history
yeah so in infant you get we call it dactylitis in medical terminology also sometimes the mom can tell you أمه ده ممكن يقول لك أنا جارفة جنا جسمه بس بوجا جنا بيكور this is the pain of sickle cell is started in infants and then as I said there is recurrent anemias that are not explained anemia that are not treated by giving this treatment for iron deficiency multivitamin العادي جنا بياخدوا فيتامينات لكن anemia لسه في other signs we have the continuous tiredness طوالي ناس ديل تعبانين because they have chronic anemia زول عنده anemia طوالي تعبان طوالي فتران جسم ما كويس they have this chronic pain وجع بتاع جسم ناس بتاع sickle cell even the adults sometimes absences from the school absences from work لأنه في وجع طوالي they are living with these pains again jaundice so jaundice sometimes most of the people they are told that جن عنده jaundice أو يرغان عينه شوية أصفر if I can say ده hepatitis even parents can come that قالوا جن عنده hepatitis دكتورة كده شوف no it could be hemolytic anemias أو النوع من anemia بيكسر دم like sickle cell so these are the signs that I can name few of them the pain the chronic anemia and a lot of signs just like we need to be suspicious even for the doctors also so to direct those patients to the correct care
and before we bring in Dr. Moses still with you Dr. Sara what treatments do we have available right now in the country
currently we have most of the conservative treatment like we have this is important because these patients they need painkillers I said this is the symptoms on
because of itself, the pain
they need painkillers sometimes to reach the extent of the opioids the morphine those things for the pain these are available but also I want to stress that sickle cell disease is not only about anemia because our understanding it's not only about anemia it's inflammatory condition it's low immunity so it's not only anemia so there is risk they have low immunity and the risk of recurrent infections that's why we lose those children
before they make 5 years
yes so we need to give prophylaxis against these infections.
Right.
So we need, there is medicine, the penicillin V that we give them. Mm. We give the folic acid because the anemia, sickling, the cells, the RBCs are breaking before their age. Life span is not. So that's why the folic acid, the penicillin V for the infection up to 5 years. And then there is a major medicine which is hydroxyurea. Hydroxyurea, these complications that coming from that disease, it will reduce the complication and make these people live like a better. They will have a better quality of life if they use. Hydroxyurea is available in
Juba. Is it affordable?
But it's very, very expensive. Like those patients I'm talking about, hydroxyurea, especially we give it to those who have severe genotype because, you know, we don't have a uniform for disease for everyone. There's the severe genotype and this the milder one. So the severe one, because they get the complication, they need this hydroxyurea. Folic acid alone will not treat them. And this my message to families. Ayanin kutar gija, amindu ayan ta anemia da minu suker, u bakhudu folic acid. But folic acid is not enough. مفروض نعرف فوليك أسيد ما كفاية عيان ده ما أنيميا وكسروا دم براه في مشاكل كتير بيجا that's why hydroxyurea is important but hydroxyurea is very expensive here in Juba. Like most of the families,
how much does it cost?
Like the strip of 10 capsules, it's 12,000 SSP in dollars.
Right. And how many of those do you need in a month?
Like it's according, like in children, according to the age. As they grow, they will take more tablets. And you know, this medication, they need to use it for life. Hydroxyurea started, and then for life, for them not to get the serious complication in the long run. So this is a major challenge that we had. Sometimes these patients, they need blood transfusion from now and then in severe conditions, some condition. But also, you know that getting blood in the country is very difficult, and this is a long life disease. Most of the family members are exhausted. Everyone was donating. But it's better to put them on hydroxyurea. Will even reduce this blood transfusion. But still, it's very, very expensive.
Thank you.
Let's bring in Moses Mutebi about WHO's involvement when it comes to maybe supporting treatment. How are you working with the ministry to how are you involved in terms of supporting treatment of sickle cell?
Yes, WHO, we as you know, we work closely with the ministry and also the clinicians, the providers in terms of care. But WHO basically for sickle cell disease, there are individual messages that we really target to the individuals, like building on what Dr. Sarah said, like providing regular checkups for providers. I think this is really encouraged. Also, we make sure that those that are really affected by the disease are really vaccinated. I think that is critical, because vaccinations prevent these recurrent infections, like we know pneumococcal and meningococcal infections also. And then also we encourage...
So the normal routine vaccines for the children?
Yes, the normal routines, but are more emphasized. There are some that are really not even the normal routine, but of course those infections are likely to affect these people who are sick class. Yes. And also we encourage healthy lifestyle, because as you know, sickling and the issues are associated with it. We encourage, for example, adequate taking of fluids, which we call hydration, then the balanced diet, and also avoiding these extreme temperatures and things like that. Those are some of the things, but also education and support, especially for parents.
Yeah. Before you continue, how do we prevent extreme temperatures when we live in?
I mean, we can moderate them by living in rooms.
It's important, because it's very critical for them.
So they should not go outside, be exposed to the sun.
Like kids, you know, the children
always play.
So we just advise that the parents should be, even them, the ones who understand, like from night, we tell them when the weather is very hot, and then reduce the sun exposure or running or in the sun for.
And so strenuous activities are not advised, especially for children.
Not that much, but just to reduce, but better during that time to keep hydrated or increase hydration. Even we tell the moms that kids sometimes they forget to take water, but you are the one, because you know now you will suffer, now the pain will start, so to keep hydrated. Balanced diet is also good, because it will boost the immunity because of this, against these infections.
Right.
And in the extreme temperature, if it is very cold, like when it's in the rainy season,
That's also a problem.
The pain can start. So we advise them, okay, let them wear something like a sweater or something, good hydration. If the pain starts at home minimum, you start the painkillers like paracetamol, ibuprofen. So this advice we talk to the mom. Also, I want to stress about the routine immunization is very important. Like for them, any child sickle, we need to make sure they have the routine immunization. And if they can afford, because they need to take the pneumococcal vaccine, but
in South Sudan?
Yeah.
The pneumococcal?
It's still pneumococcal.
We have it or we don't have it?
Because last I checked, we didn't have pneumococcal.
We don't have. They need to buy it if there is. But let us focus on the routine immunization. It's very important. Yeah. And then the good diet, keeping hydrated.
And just, Mutebi, what advice would you give to parents and the wider public about preventing sickle cell disease where possible and helping those who are living with it lead, of course, healthier lives?
Yeah, really, right now we are going into other countries actually are now, as Dr. Sarah said, having neonatal screening is particularly important. In some countries it's now really, really duly emphasized, like in Uganda, because the parents really also doing planning for pregnancy.
Yeah.
It is crucial. We should not shy away from this. Parents nowadays now are supposed to actually screen for those genetic problems. Such that they are well aware of the risks of, if any. And then because this problem is increasing, as I said, 500,000 people are born.
That's out a lot.
And then they suffer this disease lifelong. So we are supposed to now really step up the awareness to prevent this, and so this is what we are trying to do with the ministries and then of course the academia to see how we can bring this kind of information into action. But as WHO, we also support research because the Dr. Sarah, as you know, she's a specialist, hematologist. We are supporting really research really in terms of developing new treatments. She has talked about hydroxyurea. And then also other treatments are coming up now that will help our people. But also there are certain things that are not yet in the country, like bone marrow transplants, things like that are coming, gene therapy. And so that is basically what we do as WHO. So potential cures potential cures, early diagnosis and interventions.
So we're even speaking about cure now.
Okay. Yeah, we are really research. Thinking about this because I think this is an age of science, and then and of course we collaborate with the governments, the ministries of health, to implement effective sickle cell disease management programs and policies. So these are some of the things we want to put in place, and we are now going to work with Dr. Sarah and team very closely in order to have guidelines and resources available. I know this is Juba, but as she says, we don't know what the burden is across the country. We need to work with all clinicians to see that we have
the numbers.
The guidelines that are available from WHO adapted and then are put to use by our health providers.
Thank you. Because of time, in just 30 seconds, if possible, please pass your message to the families who are listening to us, Dr. Sarah, in Arabic, possibly.
Yeah, to the families, I just want to say sickle cell is not a curse, is not a witchcraft, because it's still, some people, they know it, but they feel like a stigma. They know they have in the families, but they just keep the children or patients. They don't go, even the adults, they don't go for care because of that issue. And I am stressing on early diagnosis is better so that they can get the proper treatment on time, and then they can have like a good quality of life. And and now we are talking patients with sickle cell disease. If they get proper treatment, the lifespan is like normal people.
Thank you. So thank you. Yes, Dr. Mutebi.
Yes. Really, we want to...
Okay, you have one more, yes, doctor.
Yeah, sorry. Because like we know that in South Sudan we have an issue of awareness, and we know that as a clinician we cannot take this burden only to hematologists in the country. So it's good that we have a sickle cell support group. That is a group that will be launched tomorrow in that celebration. Mm. It's the first sickle cell support group in the country. Mm. They will be working on advocacy, awareness. And this group is not only, the members are not only clinicians, they are parents, they are patients.
So this is happening at Al Sabah?
Yes. Okay. The launching will be tomorrow Bukhara. With the celebration.
All right. Bukhara, inshallah. Let's join the movement and this coalition in the Republic of South Sudan, and let's be there tomorrow.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much. And it's just 1 minute to the top of the hour.